Oscar, I want to say, falls under the spell of the Bellwethers, plural. He falls in love with Iris, but he's actually first drawn in by Eden, and Eden doing what?
Playing the organ. So he's a nursing home assistant, basically. He's wandering through, and he goes by King's, sort of cuts through King's College to get to somewhere that he needs to be. And he hears the sound of this organ, and you know, if you go to Cambridge and you can hear that sound of that organ at a certain time around Evensong, a lot of the chapels open up for Evensong at the same time on a Wednesday, and so he hears something that he thinks, you know, that he wants to go in there. He's compelled in. He doesn't realize who's playing it at the time.
And I love that he describes it as, he isn't pushing the keys, but he's playing them like
hovering his fingers above them like a puppeteer, right? Yeah.
And by the time I got to the end of the book, it was like, shiver down my spine.
Right. Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's foreshadowing, I suppose, is what I was doing there. But yeah, I mean, I think he's not aware of why he's going, and he's just drawn in by the music, I think a lot of us are. We hear a piece of music, you know, whether it's organ music, whether it's, you know, you're passing by a coffee house and there's, you know, a singer-songwriter playing something and it connects with you in some way, you'll go in and you'll sit down and maybe listen to a few more. And that's what happens to him, and he's not aware who's behind it. And then, you know, he looks over and there's a girl there, and it, you know, as the book unfolds, we realize how the two things are connected, and Eden then claims that actually it's more connected than he even realizes.
Mad genius, I guess, is the only really way you could, I mean, he's right on the edge at the beginning of the book and
yeah,
gets closer and closer to that sharp edge.
He
all
is
the time.
I mean he's a very gifted musician, so he's, you know, an astounding player of the organ and of the piano and a whole range of other instruments that he probably doesn't play in the book, but he probably could play. He's one of those musicians who could just pick anything up, you know, he could pick a lamp up and probably get a sound out of it or something. And not only that, but he's also a gifted scholar of music, so he's very interested in how music works and the mechanics of how to use music to get certain effects in the listener. And his guru in the book is a real, very real Baroque composer called Johann Mattheson, who is kind of overlooked as a composer. He was a friend of Handel, and they got into a duel.
that story is true.
That's true, yeah. Johann Mattheson was very real, I should say. And he was most known for this piece of music theory called, the book was called Der Vollkommene Kapellmeister, which means the perfect chapel master, which is sort of a manual for how to use music to get certain effects in the listener. And so Eden sort of takes that, and being the kind of person he is, he's a gifted player, he understands music so well, you know, he professes to know it better than most of his peers or anyone he knows. He takes that and he sort of does, I suppose, what we would do if we buy a wreck of a car, and then we add, you know, the speakers and the tires, and that's kind of what he does with music. He amps it up until and takes it somewhere that he thinks is more powerful.
Oscar, in his nursing home capacity, is introduced, one of his patients, who's a lovely, lovely old guy, I liked him a lot, gets him introduced to a psychiatrist, Herbert Crest.
Yeah, so Dr. Paulson is this old Cambridge professor who's kind of, he had a family, but he's sort of fallen into this sort of lonely place in the nursing home called Cedarbrook, and he's kind of a cantankerous old fellow, you know, and he's lovable, you know, the kernel of him is, he's got a good heart, you know, but he's spiky at the edges, and he obviously sees something in Oscar that he connects with, and the more that they are connected, and the more that their relationship grows, he then starts to learn more, and one of the characters who comes in is an old lover, in fact, of Dr. Paulson, Herbert Crest, who's now a psychologist.
Best-selling author.
Yeah, sort of like a popular writer of popular psychology case studies, basically. Sort of like maybe an Oliver Sacks of the psychology world or something like that.
That's who I was thinking of as a parallel.
So, you know, their former relationship is sort of woven in a way to what's happening with Oscar and the Bellwethers in the book. And I don't want to ruin too much for readers of it by saying how, but, you know, not all is what it first appears, perhaps, is the best way of putting it.
You call it revivals, that's in the sort of the spiritual kind of...
Yeah, revivals, I think it sort of has, obviously, many different connotations within this title. I mean, revivals, as it, you know, appears literally in the book, is what Eden calls his... when he's doing his musical experiments, they're his revivals, as kind of a church revival is, you know, a lot of organ music is played and a lot of, you know, high-octane spiritual chanting is supposed to make sort of overcome you. And so that's why he sort of sees it as a similar kind of experience. But it also, revivals obviously then takes on another sort of connotation in the rest of the book, in a literal sense maybe, and you know the word bellwether and revival, you know, together, sort of, you're not quite sure how they necessarily fit together. So yeah, the title is sort of one of those things which I think the more that you read with the book, the more that you understand the characters, the more that you connect with the plot, you see more. More layers maybe within the title.
The book is The Bellwether Revivals. I've been speaking with the first-time novelist Benjamin Wood and The Bellwether Revivals, published by McClelland and Stewart.